Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
So Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu recently said that the war is about to be less intense in Gaza. Are we really going to see that happen? Aisha Kaji is international relations expert on the line with us. Thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Hi, Tamela. Thanks for having me on the show.
Should we start celebrating? Is this war about to end?
No, it's not about to end. What's going to happen probably is a de-escalation in the offensive by the Israeli military in Gaza. Mm. But we're not going to see what is essentially a long-term conflict strategy come to an abrupt end. Mm. By the way, I wouldn't call it a war, Tumelo. It is an attack by an occupier on an occupied people. Mm.
And so what has changed his tune, even that he says that there are like to lessen the attack on Gaza? What's changed now?
The Israeli military has suffered some severe losses the last few weeks, particularly in Rafah, where it expected that its offensive against Rafah would last mere weeks and is now drawing into months. Mm-hmm. So they've suffered some casualties amongst IDF soldiers, mm-hmm. which has affected public morale in Israel. Mm. Even though those casualties, the numbers of casualties of Israeli soldiers versus the number of casualties of Palestinian civilians, there is no comparison between the two numbers. The number of civilians killed are in the, hundreds of thousands, or injured are in the hundreds of thousands and in the tens of thousands in terms of casualties. Mm-hmm. Even though there is no comparison in pure numbers, the fact that several dozens of Israeli soldiers have been killed, particularly in recent weeks, is affecting morale within the civilian population in Israel. And the Israeli government and senior military analysts in the Middle East and elsewhere are saying that the Israeli army, despite being one of the most technologically advanced and sophisticated militaries on the planet, is actually not up to the job in terms of the sheer numbers of soldiers that it needs. Mm-hmm. So they're basically saying they need to recruit more soldiers.
Yeah.
But the pool of potential recruitees is rather small because there is an exemption from military service in Israel for the ultra-Orthodox communities. And to mobilize those communities would be a delicate strategy for Mr. Netanyahu, given that he is currently in a coalition government with the ultra-Orthodox, the far right in Israel.
How long can Netanyahu hold on to power for? If you've just said, he's in a coalition government, that position is very fragile, as we
Absolutely.
See them every now and then moving away from his position. You're seeing a lot of protests in Israel because essentially people are saying, yes, we understand why you went in, but where are the hostages? You're not bringing the hostages back home. So what's essentially the point of this? And we are suffering, of course, reputational damage. Young people are saying that. How long can he survive this for internally in Israel?
Possibly at least, I would say, another 6 months, despite mounting outrage both within the Israeli population and certainly outrage across the planet, especially, as you've said, amongst younger populations, amongst Jewish populations and non-Jewish populations alike. Non-Zionists around the world are outraged by the sheer numbers of civilian casualties in Gaza and by the atrocities that many of them didn't know were committed on a routine basis by the IDF in the occupied territories generally, including the West Bank and East Jerusalem. The world now knows, and it can no longer remain ignorant.
You speak of atrocities that people didn't know of, and one of which is just the relentless efforts by Israeli citizens who keep making it difficult, apart from the leaders, who keep making it difficult for aid to enter into Palestine. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous. Just let's talk right back to what life should be or is like for those who are still in there, because one just cannot imagine. I've lost count of the days,
by the way. Large swathes of the population are not just facing starvation now, Tumelo, but are actually in starvation mode because of life-saving aid being prevent it from reaching the Gazan population. So, you know, this is a war crime. It is a crime under any humanitarian law anywhere in the world. It is contravention, direct contravention of the UN resolutions and of the orders of the International Court of Justice, the highest court in the world. Israelis acting with absolute impunity, and Israeli citizens who are preventing aid from getting in are ashing such in the belief that they are entitled to claim this land where the Gazans are currently living. They feel they have a God-given right to Gaza and to all of Palestine, frankly.
To what extent should we be more concerned because the world has become fatigued with this, with their lens on it? You can see the media houses no longer report like they used to in the very early days. People are worried about their own domestic affairs. And that, I suppose, is a very dangerous position because, as you said, you know, the Israeli government now acting with impunity, especially if there is no longer focus on what's happening there. How worried should the international community be about that?
I think very, very worried, Jamela, because what is happening is that the international community, and particularly the U.S. and Western European countries, are now becoming very, very complicit in what is essentially, at the very least, ethnic cleansing, and at the worst, genocide. And if that precedent is set, then in terms of international humanitarian law, there will be no legitimacy to stop future genocides in any part of the world, future ethnic cleansing and future war crimes in any part of the world, because the hypocrisy of the international system and the hypocrisy of key nations within the international governance system has been underlined by the fact that they have either been silent and or complicit in what is currently happening in Palestine.
At some point, it seemed like the Arab world was coming together to finally rally behind the Palestinians. That seems to have sort of fizzled out. What's going on there?
Quite frankly, I think that while the citizens of the Arab world are extremely concerned by and large about the plight of the Palestinians, the leadership of the Arab world has been bought by Western countries such as the U.S. and large swathes of Western Europe. The loyalty of those countries now lies with the U.S. And the diplomatic channels through which they operate are actually more important to them than the lives of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians hanging in the balance, particularly those Gazans who are currently in starvation mode or on the verge of starvation, let alone being bombarded daily and relentlessly by the Israeli army.
With all that we know and all that we've discussed now, what is it going to take to save the lives of those who are currently facing, as you're saying, who are currently in starvation mode? What is it going to take to save the remaining Palestinians?
Honestly, Tamela, I don't know. I really don't know. International outrage has not been sufficient. The sit-ins on campuses in North America and in Western Europe and in South Africa have not made a difference, unfortunately, because while it is obvious that citizen outrage exists, the fact remains is that key governments are becoming more and more deeply embroiled and complicit in the ethnic cleansing, as I said, and in the genocide, and are seemingly unwilling, not unable, but unwilling to stop it, because they are able to stop it. They are able to cut off funding. They are able to cut off military equipping of the Israeli army, which is now in severe, flagrant defiance of international law, including directives from the International Court of Justice and UN Security Council resolution. It appears that to the Israelis and to their supporters, Palestinian lives just do not matter.
So a big chunk of the world is going to the polls this year. And one wonders, with all the protests that we've seen across the world, will the major political organizations and major leaders be affected by how the citizens in their countries feel about what's happening in Palestine?
I think it is very likely that Mr. Biden, for example, will lose the U.S. presidential election later this year, in November this year, at least in part based on his continued support for what many of his countrymen and women are seeing as, at the least, ethnic cleansing and, at the worst, genocide. However, should that happen, and should there be a new inauguration of a conservative president, I dare not say Mr. Trump, but whoever that conservative is, it will mean even more severe hardship for the people of Palestine, for the people of Sudan, for the people of the Democratic Republic of Congo, and places like Syria and Afghanistan, etc., because the conservative element in American society, and particularly in American government, just does not care about black or brown light.
Aisha Kaji, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. She's an international relations expert, giving us some sense of what is possibly happening at the moment in Palestine. As she said, this is not quite a war. This is aggression, essentially.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.